Today's daf is daf lamed. We're in the middle of a number of situations that happened, so we're going to continue along that for the rest of today. We'll go back to yesterday's situation that we ended with on kaf tet amud bet, seven lines from the bottom. Hahuda amar le lechavre, my bayit b'hai beta. We're going to see there's a very common thing that's going to continue. What are you doing in my house? Amar le minach zevinte va'achal shnei chazaka. Right, so I bought it from you, and you'll see, the answer is going to change here and there. But this case is, I bought it from you, and I've been eating it for 3 years. I've been eating using the land, eating the proceeds. Amarle, ana b'shchuna gavai havai. Says, I was in a shchune gavai, which again we said, either it means the inner house, okay, in which case he claims, every day I walk through your property, and is there not any bigger protest than that I claim to own to this land, that I own this land? Another interpretation is that he lived in a faraway area, which is a little strange because in today's daf we're going to see a different term that means I lived in a faraway area. So it seems a little strange that they'd be saying it was the same thing here, but it could be I was living in some faraway area and therefore I didn't know. Now again, this is going to depend on what the interpretation you go by is. If you say, I've been living in the inner houses, then again, even here, there's different interpretations, but it could mean that you have to prove, okay, who has to prove according to Rav Nachman? Right, so let's just chart this out. Rav Nachman says that the machzik, the person living on the property, has to go prove. Okay, and what does he have to prove? So according to one we'll try to pick one interpretation for each so we don't get too off track. He says that you have to prove that the person living in the inside didn't walk through your property to get out, but there was a different exit and he walked out through that exit, okay? That he wasn't going through your property every day, kind of issuing a protest. If you say that he was living in a faraway place, then you'd have to prove that he's actually been in town and he saw you living in the house and still didn't protest. Atala kamei de Rav Nach. Amarle Rava. So Rava says, Hachidina, that's the law. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, which means who has to prove? The ma'arer. Okay, we're going to call them the ma'arer and the machzik. The ma'arer is the one, okay, we're going to have to remember these terms because they're going to come up all the time. The ma'arer is the one who's complaining. So he has to prove, if he wants to take, right now the machzik has a chazakah on the land, he's living there. So if you want to get rid of him, you're the one who's motzi, you have to prove it. Now we're going to say, v'rami d'rava d'rava, v'rami d'rav nachman ad'rav nachman. Okay, I'm going to actually change the wording right now. Besides ma'arer, I'm going to call the ma'arer original owner. Okay, this is going to be very important for the purposes of the comparison. And the machzik is the current owner. Because now what we're going to see is in a different machloket, Rav Nachman, okay, current resident, thank you, that's good, because we don't know that he's the owner, that's exactly the issue. The next case we're going to say that it's Rav Nachman and Rava, okay, you're going to see it's a little strange that they're bringing contradiction, because Rava's going to say again, Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, okay, however, he's going to side with the current resident, And the Rav Nachman's going to prove it with this. Oh wait, I'm sorry. You know what? I did it wrong. My chart didn't say who he's siding with. Right? It's the opposite. My chart shows who has to prove. So now we're going to say the opposite. Rav is going to say that the current owner. Okay, the current
resident.
Well, it's the current owner. Okay, maybe that's why I called him the current owner before. Okay, because resident's going to be a little tricky. We'll call him the current owner in quotes, okay? The current owner is going to have to prove, and Rav Nachman's going to hold that the original, that the original owner needs to prove, okay? So that's going to be the contradiction. I'll just set it up for you so you see, because when you first read it, it sounds like they actually have similar to what they're saying, and that's how we'll eventually answer it. But anyway, so Rami to Rava to Rava, Rami to Rav Nachman to Rav Nachman. That means Rava contradicts himself in a different place, and Rav Nachman contradicts himself in a different place. Dahu to Amarle Lechavre, Kol nichse debei bar sisin, mazbin alach. Havai hahi. Okay, so I sell you land, and I say, I'm selling you all the land that I bought from the house of bar sisin. Okay? Havai hahi ara, dehava mikre debei bar sisin. And there happened to be a piece of my property that was named in the name of bar sisin. Okay? But I claim that I didn't buy it from him. Okay? Imagine, right, Barbie Season owned all this property. And some of it came into my possession years ago through my family, whatever it might be, I don't know. Then maybe my ancestors bought it from them. And then slowly over time, Barbie Season sold more of his property and he sold the rest of it to me. And when I was selling you the property that I bought from Barbie Season, I claim now that that piece was in my possession long, long ago. I didn't buy it from him. That wasn't part of the deal. Obviously, you can see why this would be tricky, because it's called Bay Barsisan. Because it's been the Barsisan family for so long, it had their name on it, okay, even though I owned it. So, Amarlay, Hai Lav de Bay Barsisan he. I claim that's not the property that I was selling you from the family of Barsisan. Ve'ikru Yehu de Mikriye de Bar Barsisan. It's just called that, but that's not what it is. It's not because I bought it from him. Atu the Kamei de Rav Nachman. Ukma biyada delokeach. Okay, here we have it. Rav Nachman says it goes to the current owner, okay, meaning that the original owner, the onus is on him to prove it. Okay? Whereas in the Rav Nachman, in the other case, right, he said the current owner has to prove. Amarle Rava, Dina Hachi, is the law really like this? Hamotzim echavero alav haraya. Who's got the property? Who's the machzik in this case? The original owner is the machzik. So therefore, if the lokeach, this buyer, wants to claim that this is his land, he's got to go prove it. The burden of proof is on the current owner. Okay? So therefore we have, okay, again, whether you want to, obviously the Gemara is going to say this isn't an equal comparison. Current owner versus original owner versus current owner, that's not necessarily right. It's based on who's machzik in the land, right? That's going to be at least according to Rava. So now we're going to say, remember, Rava says the same thing. He says, "Amotzi mechaver alav haraya." So kasha derava, kasha derav Nachman, derav Nachman. Okay, so now, derava aderava lo kasha. Why? This is an obvious answer. Because hatam mocher kai benichse, hacha lokeach kai benichse. In the second case of the seller, so the seller is the one who's machzik the land. The buyer doesn't have any chazak on the land, and he just purchased it. So if he wants to claim, I'm purchasing the land from Bay Barsisan, and this is mine, well, he's got to prove it, because who's got the chazak on the land? The seller. In our case, who's got a chazak on the land? The guy who's been living there for 3 years. And therefore, it's on the original owner to prove. So that's why Rava makes a lot of sense. To Rav Nachman, to Rav Nachman, nami lo kasha. Now, because Rav Nachman doesn't say this has anything to do with chazaka, so we can't go in that direction. In other words, that was very simple. According to Rava, it was whoever's muhzak in the land gets to keep it, because that's his whole shita. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So the person who's muhzak right now, which in the first case was, in our case, it was the person living there for 3 years, and in the other case, it's going to be the seller. So that makes a lot of sense. Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, nami lo kasha. Why? Because Rav Nachman holds, in our case, that the original owner has rights to his property and the current owner is going to have to prove it. But he doesn't agree that that would be the case in the other case of Bay Barsisan. Why? Because what does he say? Kevanda amarle de Bay Barsisan umikre de Bay Barsisan ale dide ramyele galuye de la Bar Barsisan. If I claim I'm selling you all the land that I got from Bay Barsisan, and I happen to have land in my property that's called from, right? It's called in the name of Barsisan's family. So if I want to prove otherwise, well, obviously the burden of proof is going to be on me. Because it seems pretty obvious that if there's some piece of property in my property that's called Bay Barsisan, that this is almost like a percentage game. What are the chances? What are the chances are that this piece of property wasn't really purchased from Barsisan, okay? Bay Barsisan. It doesn't make so much sense. So therefore, comes Rav Nachman and he says, therefore, the burden of proof lies on the seller. Aval hacha, but in our case, okay, again, what's our case? Our case is where the guy was living in the land for 3 years and the original owner claims, well, I was either far away or I was in the inner room and I protested all along. So now what can he say? Hacha lo yehei ela denakit shtara. Mi lo amrinan kiyem shtar v'kum b'nichse. A chazaka should be no worse than a shtar. If I had brought out a shtar, let's say the guy who was living there for 3 years, instead of saying I've been living there for 3 years, he had produced a shtar. Now, if he had produced a shtar, what would happen? Okay, well, let's read it again. Lo yehe ela denakit shtar. He's no worse than someone who's got a shtar in his hand. Now, or no better. Mi lo amrinan. If somebody brings a shtar, what do we say to him? Kiyem shtar v'kum b'nichse. We say to him, go prove that the shtar is a good shtar, because just because someone brings a shtar doesn't mean it's a good shtar. We have to check out the witnesses. So if someone produces a shtar that says, I own this land, we have to go and check out, is it really true, and check out the witnesses. So likewise, says Rav Nachman, if someone comes forward and says, I've been sitting on this land for 3 years, well, we have to go check that out and see, is it really true? So he's got the burden of proof on him to prove that he really was living there 3 years, that the original owner didn't protest in any way, etc. So we're saying, basically, even if he had brought a shtar, he'd have to prove the shtar. So now that he's bringing Shnei Chazaka, he's got to prove that. And in this case, there's a little bit of an added proof, because it's not just proving Shtar Chazaka, but proving that the original owner was not around, let's say, or hadn't passed through his property every day like he claims. Okay, so the burden of proof is on him, just like we claim, which is interesting, right? That if you bring a shtar, the burden of proof is on you to prove that the shtar is a valid shtar. Okay, so now we see that they don't really contradict each other. New case. Ahud amar le lechavre, my bay b'hai beta. Okay, again, same thing. What are you doing in my house or in this house? Amar le minach zevinte va'achalti ashnei chazaka. I bought it from you and I've been eating it. Shnei chazaka. Amar le b'shukei barai havai. I've been in a far off city. Okay, I haven't been around at all. Amar le v'ha'it le sade. The machzik, the person living there for 3 years, says, wait. But I have witnesses, dechol shata, that each year, hava'ati taltin yome. Every year you come home for 30 days. And I have proof of that. Okay, so that seems like a proof, right? If he came for 3 years, first of all, what did the Mefarshim learn from here? Since he says each year, what do we see? That each year you need to protest, or at least lefachot, the last year. Okay, let's say the guy had come back the first year and the second year, but he hadn't come back the third year. Then he wouldn't have a case against him, because it could be he didn't protest. Remember we said maybe for 2 years people aren't makpid, but the third year maybe he did want to protest, but it turned out he ended up not being in town. So he has to prove, the Mefarshim say, the proof has to be at the end of the third year almost, right? It has to be certainly in the third year and possibly even toward the end of the third year, because the guy could say, listen, I tried to get there, but I couldn't get home and I couldn't protest. Okay, so they learned that halacha from here. There's another halacha that you also don't need to protest the whole year. You just need to protest once, right? That's enough to protest. If you just say one time, I don't want you to be in my land, that's sufficient. You don't have to be there all year long protesting. Okay, so what happens? So you think now, right, who's got the burden of proof on him now? The machzik. He's been living there 3 years, and he claims that he has proof, right, assuming he can bring witnesses, that the guy was in town once, right, for 30 days every year. However, what does the guy answer him back? And this is a very interesting claim. Amar lei, taltin yome b'shuka hava taridna. I was busy in the shuk all 30 days. So I couldn't start lodging a complaint against you. So now there's two interpretations. One says, I was in the shuk and I never even came home and I didn't see that you were living in my house. I was totally focused on the shuk and my business and I wasn't even around to see that you were there. Another answer is, I saw that you were there, but I was so busy with my work, I very much relate to this, right, that I couldn't deal with it. And therefore, fascinating, according to this interpretation, you can claim that because I was busy with work, I couldn't have dealt with it in a timely fashion, and that would count, right? Which is so interesting, right? That's a far-reaching interpretation. I mean, I'd like to assume that would be a good excuse, because I have that excuse for many things in my life that I just don't get to because I was too busy. And I always think, no one's going to accept that excuse. That's not a legitimate excuse. Again, you know, you have to prioritize. Obviously, if you really cared, you'd make time for it, right? You figure out.
Or have an agent if you're away.
Or have an agent, right? So that's why the first interpretation seems more realistic. However, I think it's really fascinating that second interpretation does exist as a possibility that you could claim, right? I didn't send a message. I knew about it. I just didn't deal with it. Very interesting. Guess what Rava says? Amarava, Avid Inish Tekol Talton Yomi Tere B'Shuka. It's very common that someone could have been totally caught up in the shuk for 30 days, which means that we accept his claim. And therefore, he can basically claim, get off my land. And the 3 years of chazaka don't count in this case. Okay? Even without having lodged a protest. Okay?
It seems fair. I mean, like, if the guy who bought the house wasn't smart enough to keep his shtar, like, you almost have no sympathy for him.
Well, again, you have to remember, halacha assumes that after 3 years, you're not going to keep it. It's giving legitimacy to that. Just like if I gave away my documents after 7 years and the Mas Hachnasa comes to me, I say, listen, I threw them away. I didn't think I had to keep them. You have to remember, they didn't have a lot of storage space. Also, I imagine their houses flooded. Right. Their houses flooded. Documents got ruined. I'm sure it was very common that things got lost.
After 3 years and take your home back, you'd think you'd hold on to that one thing.
Right. I do agree that if there's one star you're going to keep, it should be your deed.
This is very risky that this could happen.
Right. Right. It is.
Except that, you know, it's only risky in retrospect. If you buy something, you don't tend to assume that the other is going to come and claim that he never sold. I mean, it's, once you've bought something, you've paid money, you've got a star, like, you move on. You don't assume for 3 years he's going to come and claim it.
Right.
In retrospect, it's like, right, how often do we say, oh, if only I had taken notes?
Although you can imagine someone who travels all year long, leaves his house empty. I mean, I don't know where his family is, but assuming he doesn't have family, he leaves his house empty.
Or has two houses.
You know, and somebody, right, or has two houses, exactly, right. It's likely this guy, right, where was he sleeping, by the way? It could be he owned two homes, and he was living in one home. Right, exactly. So, anyway, very interesting. Obviously, these cases happen all the time because we've got a whole list of them, okay? Next case. Ahuda Amar Le Lechavre, my bay Bahai Ara, what are you doing in this land? Okay, the last few were houses, this is land. Amar Le, mi plan yezvinte, I bought it from you. De Amar Le, one second.
I bought it from someone.
Right. Mi plan yizvinta. I bought it from someone. Da amrli dezavna minach. Okay? Let's take people. Okay? I buy land from Ruth that Ruth claims she bought from Sherry. Okay? That's the case. So I buy land from Ruth. Ruth claims she bought from Sherry. And Sherry comes to me right now and says, what are you doing in my land? And I say, well, I bought it from Ruth. She told me she bought it from you. What do you mean? She didn't buy it from you? Okay? Amrle. Now, the Mefarshim, because otherwise it's impossible to understand this case, they all explain that the case is that Sherry actually doesn't have proof that she owned the land originally. Okay?
This is why title companies
work. Right. Yes, exactly. Sherry has no proof. I don't have proof that I've lived there a certain number of years, right? It doesn't say that, notice, right? The other ones say, Ba'achaltiya shnei chazaka. So because it doesn't say that, obviously I haven't been living there for 3 years. Let me try to remember if there's other facts we have to say. Let's go on. If I remember, we'll get to it. So now, Amar Le, Shari can say to me, E lav de kamodi de hai ara didihi, ba'at lo zvinte mine, zio la baldvarim didiat. Shari says to me, hey, look, Michelle, I don't have proof that I own this land, but you just admitted that I own the land. Because what did you tell me? You told me that I bought it from Ruth, who bought it from you. So you agree with me that I was the original owner. That's enough sufficient proof.
She only agrees that that's what, she only says that that's what I said.
You're reminding me what the other Mefarshim say. So the other Mefarshim say, what Ruth is saying is, it can't possibly be that I only know that Sherry owns it from Ruth. Okay? Because otherwise that would make no sense. Because then if we're believing Ruth, then we're believing Ruth all the way. So it has to be that I'm admitting also that I know that Sherry owned the land independent of what Ruth told me. Thank you for clarifying that. I knew that there was something I was forgetting. So you have to realize, with this case, the Mefarshim was struggling, what could be the details of this case, and they're figuring it out from what the halacha is, what must have been the details of the case, because otherwise it makes no sense. Exactly as Ruth asked, how does it make sense? Oh, right. So the Mefarshim said, it can't possibly be that that's the case. So let's just read it inside again. Are you not admitting to high RADDHI, right, that the land was mine, ve'at lo zvinte minai, and you're agreeing that you didn't buy it from me, And therefore, and since Ruth has no proof that she bought it, and she doesn't have proof that she lived there for 3 years or anything, therefore, zeal, go away, la baldreimat didiat. Okay? In other words, the only proof we have here that you and I both agree on is that I own, is that Shari's saying, I own the land. So therefore, get off my property. Okay? You have no testimony to prove anything otherwise. Amarava, same thing, Dina Kamrale. And the Shari is right. In this case, the Ma'ar Er is right, and I have to get off the land. Okay, next case. Hahuda Amarle Lachavre, my bayit Bahai Ara, what are you doing in this land? Amarle, Miplan Yazvina, I bought it from, right, again, I bought it from Ruth, okay? Va'achaltia Shne Chazaka, and I've been living here for 3 years. Amarle, so again, Shari says to me, Shari comes and says, this is my land. What does she say? Planya gazlanehu, sorry Ruth, but you're a gazlan, okay? You, gazlanit, I don't know what they say in feminine. You stole the land, okay? In other words, Shari's telling me, it's very nice that you bought it from Ruth, but you bought stolen property. Amarle, v'ha itli sade. Now I say to Shari, wait a minute, but I have witnesses, da'atai im lechebach. I went to you. I knew that you owned this land originally, probably, or maybe you're just my friend. I don't know. Either which way. But I went to Shari and I said, before I bought the land for Ruth, Shari, what do you think? Should I buy this property or not? And what did you say? V'amart li, right? What would you have said if you owned it?
It's mine.
Right, it's mine. Don't start buying it. But instead, you didn't say that. What did you say? And I have witnesses to prove it. V'amart li, zil zabin. Go buy it. Okay? Now, maybe you'll remember this was said in Ketubot. Amarle, Shari now claims, what? I wanted you to buy the land, Michelle. Why? Because Hasheni Noachli Harishon Kashehemedu. Ruth is a very tough one, and I can't get the land back from her. I'd rather you buy it, and then I know I can get it out of you. You're a pushover. Right? I'll be able to get the land from you. Amarava Dina Ka'amarle. Okay, so now we have, again, Rava says, Shari's right. Okay, Shari can claim that I didn't really mean what I said. When I recommended you buy the land, I had ulterior motives, and it doesn't prove that I didn't own the land. Okay. Gemara asks now, and now we're going to quote the Sugya and Ketubot that we saw on Kuftet. Kiman, Rava, is going like who? Ka'admon? He's going like a shitat yachid, right? Generally, if there's a machlok at Admon and Chachamim, right? Admon's just a guy, okay, one of the Tanaim. If the machloket with one Tana versus Chachamim, we generally follow Chachamim. And in this case, we're going to see a machloket Admon and Chachamim about seemingly the exact same case. Obviously, we're going to say it's not. But originally, they're going to think it's the exact same thing. And Admon seems to be holding the same, Rava seems to be holding like Admon. And that doesn't make any sense because he should hold like Chachamim. So, Kiman ka Admon ditnan ha'orer al hasadeh v'chatum alav be'ed. Admon omer, ha'sheni noach lo ha'rishon kashay menu. V'chachamim omrim ibed et zkuto. What's the case here? Let's use the same people. Shari comes and she claims, I bought a field from someone, okay, and Shari signed on the contract. She signed on my contract that I bought it from Ruth. And then Shari comes, she's the Orera La Sadeh, and she herself says, hey, that land is mine, Ruth stole it from me. And then we say, but wait, you're signed on the document. How could you sign on a document if you really own the land? So Admon says, no, why did Shari sign on the document? Because Hasheni Noachli Arishon Kasheimenu. I wanted to get this property out of the hands of Ruth as best as possible. V'chachamim omrim ibed et zchuto. Chachamim say, Shari, you lost your, you can't claim anything. If you signed on this document, tough luck. So now what do we see? That Rava holds like Admon. How could he do that? So now we're going to say, afilu tema Rabbanan. Hatam, even if you say Rabbanan, you could say that Rabbanan would say differently in our case. Why? In the case of the Orer al Hasadeh v'chatum alav be'ed, hatam aved le'maaseh. There, right, we always distinguish between maaseh and dibur. Our case was Shari gave me advice. That's different from Shari actually signing on the contract. So when she signs on the contract, Chachamim, we're going to say, ibed et zchuto. Okay, Admon still thinks it's okay, but Chachamim say, no, you've gone too far, exactly as you said, Ruth. But in the case of aval hacha, but in our case, dibura avid inish dimikri va'amar. Right? It could be that someone would say that, right? Give someone advice just so that the property would switch hands and she would be able to get it from me rather than from Ruth.
Is Adlon a specific person or is it
Yeah, he's a person. No, it's the name of a Tana. Okay. Hahu de amrle l'chavre, my bai b'hai ara, what are you doing in my land? Amrle, mi plang is vinte v'achalti ashne chazaka. I bought it from so-and-so, and I've been eating for 3 years. Amrle, planya gazlanehu. Right? Again, Ruth, you stole the land. I bought it from Ruth. Ruth, you stole the land. Come share. She claims Ruth stole the land. Amrle, v'ha it li sade. I have witnesses. I come and claim. De'atit be'orta. That you came at night. I don't know why specifically at night, but okay. Maybe that happened to just be the case, right? So they're giving us the details of that particular case. What did you say?
It says last night.
Last night. Okay. That you came to me last night. V'amartli zavna niale. Now, there's two different girsaot here, and they have two different interpretations. One is zil zavna niale. Okay. Go and do this. Or zavna niale. What's the difference? Zavan could be sell, it could be buy. So we're going to have two opposite interpretations. Either Shari came to me last night and said, zeal, go and buy this land. Buy this land for me. Okay? Go means go be my messenger. And buy the land for me. Which means, and that's what happened. I bought the land today. But you, Shari, told me last night, go buy the land for me. Now, I didn't listen to you. I went and bought it for myself. But what does that prove? If you were telling me to go purchase the land for yourself, then what does that mean? That you obviously don't own it if you're going to go buy it. And the other interpretation is, let me see if I can remember it. Zeal, go sell this land for 1 second.
No, sell me the land.
Sell me the land. Okay. Right. Sell me the land, which means, right, yeah. It's the same thing, really, whether you say buy it. I think I'm confused. Let me think what each one is. Go sell it.
Sell it to me or buy it for me.
Right. Either sell it to me or buy it for me. Either which way, Shari clearly wants to purchase the land. Okay? Either she wants to buy it from... Right, then I guess the timing would make a difference.
Okay, this says he's used it for 3 years, so how could it be last night?
Yeah, that is strange. Okay, so let me just figure this out for a
minute. Why are you willing to pay me for it? You should have simply taken me to court.
Right, so that we're going to get to. That's not yet. But the question is, what's the exact two different... Let me get the two interpretations on a second. Right, it doesn't necessarily mean last night, by the way. See here, it doesn't say last night.
I don't know why it says it.
Sell it to me, indicating that you agree that it was mine. Right? In other words, one option is to say you came to me and said sell it to me, which means if you wanted me to sell it to you, then you're admitting that I'm the owner. And if you say go buy it for me, then you're admitting that Ruth is the owner. Either which way, you're admitting that you didn't own the land. Okay? So
if you're saying sell it to me, you're saying I am the owner.
No. You, Shari, came to me and said, you're claiming you're the original owner. But in either which way, either you're saying go buy the land from Ruth for me, and instead I bought it myself. Because obviously this isn't right. The last line interpretation seems quite strange. I see. I think this is how it works. If you were talking about, in one scenario, we're going back to the very beginning when I bought the land. Before I bought the land, you came to me. Even you could say last night. Last night means the night before I purchased the land. That must be what they're referring to when they claim that it means last night. The night before I purchased the land, you came to me and said, go buy it for me, which means that you admitted that Ruth owned it. That's one way of saying it. One could be you came to me last night, even now, and you wanted me to sell you the land. And how could you have asked me to sell you the land if you think you own it? You should have just came to me and said, hey, listen, I own the land. Okay? Those are the two options of what he said. Either which way, Shari's admitting that she didn't own the land. However, like in all the other cases, what are we going to say here? Amarle, Amina Izbun Dinai. I wanted you to, in other words, it was easier for me to buy it than to take you to court. Okay? I'd rather buy it. I wanted to buy out my rights to it. In other words, sometimes it's such a headache to go to court, and maybe you knew, especially I've been living there 3 years, that you wouldn't have a case, and you just really wanted your land back, and you were willing to pay the money and just to get your land back. So the fact that you told me, buy it from Ruth, might have just been your, buy it from me for Ruth, might have just been your way of saying, I give up, I just want to buy my own land back. Or sell it to me also. You just want your own land back, and you're willing to give up about the deen. And Amar Rava, again Rava, okay, this is a very clear clear approach about who he's always siding with. Amar Rava, avid inish jezabin dine. Okay, people do buy their way out of, right, they'd rather pay than go to court.
But the end contradicts the beginning.
Why?
Because it means that Shari came, for you know, in the beginning of this story, this case, Shari comes and says, what are you doing here? It's my land.
Yeah.
Which means that he is now challenging rather than trying to
Well,
buy
first
back.
Of all, so what happened?
It didn't work.
Right, it didn't work. It obviously didn't work because I bought the land and I didn't buy it for Shari. Right. Or I didn't sell it to Shari. So now, it was a good attempt. However, it didn't work. So now, Shari's going to the other option, which is, well, if you're not going
to
sell it to me, then let me try it. Right. And maybe Shari's hoping that even if she can't prove it, maybe then I'll be willing to sell it to her because I feel bad, you know, that I'm living on stolen property. Okay. Hahuda Amar Le'el Chavra. I think we're on our last case for today. My Bai Bahai Ara. What are you doing in this land? Amar Le'el Miplan Yezvina V'achalti Shnei Chazaka. I bought it from so-and-so and I'm eating Shnei Chazaka and I ate, you know, for 3 years. Amar le, v'hane kitna shtara, dizavna le mine, ha arba eshne. Let's get what happened here. I claim that I bought this lamb from Ruth, and I've been eating it for 3 years. But now, okay, or maybe let's take Shari, because Shari's the original owner, that's what we're talking about. So I got the lamb for, Shari's coming to claim it's my land, okay? I claim I bought it from, you know what, let's use Shari as the original owner. So Ruth, you come to me and you say, what are you doing in my land? And I say, I bought it from Shari and I've been living here for 3 years. So what are you talking about? And you say, but I have a shtar that I bought it from Shari 4 years ago. Now I said, what did I say? Pay attention, close attention to the words. I said, "Achaltia shnei chazaka." What does that mean?
I've eaten for the years of
chazaka. The years of
chazaka.
So what do we assume that means?
Three years.
So Shari says, well, I bought it from Shari 4 years ago, which means that Shari couldn't have sold it to you 3 years ago. It wasn't hers. Okay? So now, this is why I debated, because on one hand, Shari's the original owner. I wanted to stick with Shari being the original owner. However, in this case, she becomes the thief. Because she's selling land that wasn't hers anymore, because Ruth had already purchased it from her. So now, what do I say? Amar le, mi savar shnei chazaka, tzlat shnei ka'amina? Just because I said shnei chazaka, I didn't mean 3 years, okay? Shnei chazaka tuva ka'amina. I've been living here many more years, okay? I've been living here, okay, we'll give for an example, which we'll get to see the Gemara says. I've been living here for, let's say, 7 years. So when you claim you have a shtar that you bought this land from Shari 4 years ago, at that point you were buying stolen land. Don't tell me I was buying stolen land. I came before you. Okay? She sold you stolen land. Okay? So now, Amar Rava, Abi de Inshe de Karu l'shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. Okay, now, by the way, we see that Rav is not choosing sides in terms of always saying that the Mar Er is right. In this case, it's the Machzik is right. It's all a matter about interpreting wording, right? This is similar to what we did in Nedarim and other sugyas, right? Where somebody says something, and what did they really mean by what they said? So when someone says Shnei Chazaka, it's very likely that they mean more than Shnei Chazaka, more than that amount of years.
Or it could mean 2 times Chazaka. Like 6 years.
Right, it could be. But Shnei Chazaka just means enough years to prove Chazaka.
Not two.
Right, not two. V'hane mile da'ach la'sheva. But now they say, wait, but it has to be 7. It can't be less than 7. Why? De'kadim Chazaka la'hai shtara. It has to be that the Chazaka preceded the shtar.
So you mean 7 in this case?
It has to be right. If Ruth claimed 4 years, I have to prove that I was living there 3 years before her 4 years. So it would be 7 years ago. Okay? Dahach avashit. Now, why is this? Because if I said 6 years, let's say I was living in, what do I prove? I'm trying to prove, Shari, that I took your property right? That you sold it to me and I was living there for Shnei Chazaka. Now, what's the issue? If I'm living in your property and I don't have a shtar to prove it, if you protest, then it doesn't mean anything. So let's take, it was 6 years. Okay, so year number one, I live there with no problem.
If you protest, the protest is valid. It's the years that don't mean anything.
The protest is valid. The years won't mean anything. So year one, I'm living there, no problem. You didn't protest. Year two, I'm living there, no problem. Year three, what happened if I'm 6 years? Year three was the same as Ruth's 4 years ago, right? When Ruth bought it. Year three is the year that you sold it to Ruth. Now, if you sell it to Ruth, ein lecha macha'agdo lamizehu. You clearly are saying, I own this land because I'm selling it to someone. It's not that you're trying to claim that you're trying to take back the property. It's that I have no proof, and therefore, you're selling it is exactly a macha. So therefore, in this case, it has to be 7, because otherwise, Ruth can say there was a protest. So those 3 years don't count at all, again, because I have no shtar to prove it. So therefore, okay, that's en lecha macha agdola mizo. There's an interesting machloket here, which I wanted to raise, which is, do I have to bring witnesses for all 7 years, according to this? If I want to prove that I was there for 7 years, do I have to bring, that's what I have to prove that I really can stay. So some people say that I need to bring for all 7 years. That's the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Hanan. I'll say I have to bring witnesses for every single year of the 7 years. But other people say, no, I need 3 years, the last 3 years. And if you remember, what do we always say? You have a ta'ana, right? You need to have a ta'ana plus the witnesses. So your ta'ana is that I was there from before 7 years. As long as you claim that, now you could be lying, I guess, but the point is, if you claim I bought it 7 years ago and you prove 3 years, then that's sufficient. Okay? Because the two, I think, it's actually a good question. Do they mean the first three or the, I would think the last three. Because you want to prove that I've been living here for the last 3 years, I think. Let me just see if I can figure that out. Yeah, the final 3 years. Right, and just, and it's enough that he's claiming that I was there 4 years before that. And that's sufficient, okay? So there's a big machloket about that.
A protest always has to have witnesses.
A protest, well, you have to prove that there was a protest.
So even if it's just the regular 3 years?
No, well, this we're not proving protest. This we're proving... He has to prove that he lived in the land. The protest, I assume you have to have witnesses, otherwise who's to say you protested or not, right? I forgot to mention one thing. I'm looking down at my notes now. When we had the Shuka Barai case where he says I was far away, so there's three different opinions about what it means far away. Some people say Yehudan Galil, and that's based on a Gemara on Lamechet, okay, where, right, two different regions. Some people say it's a remote northern region, like much farther than Yehuda v'Galil. And some people say that it's during a time of crisis where they don't allow travel at all, which obviously has important ramifications about what does it mean you were far away. Maybe if you could have gotten there, well, then it's your fault for not getting there. Again, it's how much do we go to say, right, how much you have to be in charge to be on top of all your properties, or do we say, no, if you have other things, you're busy, you're this, you're that, you know, it's okay. So that's also an interesting point. Okay. For today.